You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Ben Fountain has said that he likes to put his characters into strange situations where they'll discover new things about themselves and the world around them. That might explain why he has set his latest novel in the mid-2000s, when a team of Iraq War veterans are on a victory march of American swing states to drum up some good PR for the Bush administration's war effort before they are redeployed to Iraq. Billy Lynn's long halftime walk is published by Echo, and I'm very pleased it has brought Ben Fountain back to our show today. Hello.
Thanks very much for having me.
Now, most of the writing about Iraq war veterans these days has been about PTSD, now that the war has stopped being a main focus of the media.
Well, I mean, now the war is coming home, and you can't ask – well, you have to expect when young people, when you ask them to – you know, go overseas and do the things you have to do in a war, there's going to be a reaction. And all human beings have their limit. And I think we've asked too much of a lot of these young men and women.
Now, the reason I asked is because I was wondering if you felt that we have such short notice attention spans that and memories that we've tended to forget what the situation was like around 2004 or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. But I think reality is stronger than any of us, and it will keep coming back and back. You know, we're going to be dealing with the after effects of these wars for a long time.
Most of the action in your book unfolds at a football game on Thanksgiving Day. Did you feel constrained by focusing on what happens within just about 5 hours?
No, because I felt like there was enough potential in that situation that actually I felt pretty free. You've got the Bravos moving vertically through society.
That's
basically
this group.
Yeah, the American soldiers, they go by the nickname the Bravos, but they go everywhere from down on the field to, you know, the lower levels in the stands up to the owner's box and the stadium club.
And you have some real people involved. Their Destiny's Child is also performing at halftime. That's before Beyonce became a superstar.
Right, but they were still pretty big.
Yeah, and she actually, you've incorporated her into the plot?
Right, yeah. The Bravos are being told that they're going to take part in the halftime show. And nobody tells them exactly what they're supposed to do until just a few minutes before. But Destiny's Child is the headliner for the halftime show.
And I'm not sure that veterans, people who have just come back from Iraq, will be all that pleased being on a stage that is lined with fireworks and facing thousands of screaming fans. Is this based on something that actually happened?
Yeah, around about 2004-2005, I was coming to the realization that I did not understand my country, why we were involved in these wars, why you know, the economy in the United States, why there was so much inequality. You know, I realized I don't understand my country. And in the middle of this, we happened to have the Thanksgiving Day game on at our house. We had a bunch of people over, and it was background. You know, the game's on in the background. And the halftime show came on, and I started looking at it. And it struck me as being, you know, the most surreal, over-the-top, insane thing. You know, one of the most insane things I'd ever seen. But
this wasn't even the Super Bowl.
Correct. It was a Thanksgiving Day game at Texas Stadium. But in the middle of this huge mashup of pop culture and militarism, there was the camera zoomed in on a small group of American soldiers. They were dressed in desert camos. They were tan and lean. And you thought, those guys have just gotten back. Those guys have been over there. And the other thing about them was they were kind of stumbling around laughing. It was all just so absurd to them. Maybe they were drunk. I don't know. But it kind of crystallized what I'd been wrestling with for several years. You know, just thinking, what would it do to your head to have been over in Iraq in that ultimate reality and then brought back here and dropped into this very artificial situation?
And the halftime of your title can refer to the football game, but also to other events like the halftime of the Iraq War, mm-hmm. or the halfway point of Team Bravo's brief return to the United States before they're redeployed.
Right. This is Well, their two-week victory tour is kind of the halftime in their deployment. And as soon as this is the last event, the Texas Stadium event is the last event in their victory tour, and in 36 hours they're going to be right back in Iraq.
And they're considered heroes because of a battle that they've been involved in.
Right. They were in an engagement, and one of their squad mates was killed. Another was seriously wounded. The engagement happened to be captured by an embedded Fox News team. And once that footage started being shown in the United States, it went viral. The Bravos became heroes, and the Bush administration seizes on them as a PR opportunity.
Now, how much of this is based on research? I know you are noted for doing a lot of research. Did you speak to veterans about how they felt at that time?
Yeah, every veteran I came across, if the situation felt right, we talked, and I developed relationships with several. And but I also went back to, you know, lifelong experience. I've known World War II veterans, Korean War veterans, Vietnam, First Gulf War, and I drew on that experience as well.
Well, 8 years ago, wasn't there still a lot of public support for the war in Iraq?
Yeah.
So did you want to write about a time when before the mood changed?
Before the mood changed?
When the public started turning against the war. You can do something similar with the Vietnam War.
Right.
Where most Americans were really in support of the war, and then at a certain point.
Well, the time frame that the book is set in, most Americans are still in support of the war, around 2004, 2005. And there was never this mass outpouring of protest against this war. It was more, you know, this very quiet shifting of public opinion.
You know, the book is largely about the relationship between the soldiers. Mm-hmm. Now, I've spoken to a lot of soldiers who've come back from Iraq and asked them about their political views, what they mm-hmm. thought when they realized that there were no weapons of mass destruction. And their response generally is, I was a bit disturbed, but I was there for totally different reasons. I was part of a family. And that's one of the things that you are also depicting here.
Right. I think in the end, what keeps soldiers going is the love they have for one another. And I don't use the word love lightly. I think this is about as genuine a love as you can have for another human being. And Sebastian Younger, in his great book, War, he says, courage is love. The reason soldiers do the brave things they do is because they love one another.
I mentioned you do a lot of research. You visited Haiti over 30 times before you wrote some of the short stories that were included in your book, Brief Encounters with Che Guevara. In this book, one of the scenes is set in the Texas Stadium equipment room.
Mm-hmm.
Did you gain access to that for research?
No. You know, I found a few videos on YouTube and a few written accounts here or there. And out of that, I tried to gin up enough that I could imagine myself into that space.
My guest is Ben Fountain. His book, Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, published by Echo. Billy is confused by the Iraqi citizens' response to the American troops that are stationed there. Would he have expected to have been welcomed with strewn rose petals, as Dick Cheney had predicted?
Yeah. Well, I think Billy's confusion stems from the facts on the ground. And the facts are these. These soldiers are genuinely trying to help. I mean, they've put the soldiers to work, like doing sewer projects, trying to provide security for the neighborhood. And he's bewildered. He tells his sister, they hate us. You know, we try to help them, and all they do is try to kill us. So, you know, there's a complicated dynamic going on there that he's feeling the brunt of, but he doesn't understand.
Well, the soldiers you have here are generally not well educated, although mm-hmm. the team's leader, Sergeant Dime, is somebody who's really involved with self-educating.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something else you discovered when you were talking to some of the veterans you researched with?
Right. Well, the average age of the American soldier in Afghanistan and Iraq was 19 years old. And so clearly, you know, most of these young men and women will not have had much college, if any.
In fact, many went right out of high school because they didn't see an opportunity to go to college.
That's right.
Some do wind up going to college after they return. The Victory Tour takes the team to a number of locations, which all turn out to be political swing states. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the constant emphasis on supporting the troops rather than the war itself is what has kept us in Iraq for so long?
I think it's been a big part of it. I think, I mean, war is big business. And anybody who is halfway aware of how our world works knows that. And I feel like the soldiers have been used as advertising for the business of war.
Now, why did you fictionalize some people but not others? For example, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys in this novel is Norman Oglesby, not Jerry Jones. But you also have Hilary Swank. You have Beyonce.
Right. You know, I can't give a reasonable explanation for that other than probably in the back of my mind I was thinking, I don't want complications from certain people in Dallas. They know who they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. You have a very funny thing. Hilary Swank is interested in playing the male lead in a proposed movie about the Bravo Company.
Right. Well, that's, you know, based on my little bit of experience in Hollywood, anything is possible if anything is possible in order to get a name attached to your project.
Now, you quit being a lawyer when you were 30?
That's correct.
And then weren't published for 18 years?
Well, I was publishing short stories in small magazines here and there. But
it must have been hard to keep yourself going until you had your breakthrough.
It was. It was very hard.
And now this is your first novel?
That's correct.
You had been working on a different book called The Texas Itch. What happened to that?
Right. It crashed and burned. It just wasn't good enough. My editor and I went back and forth, you know, on a number of revisions, and finally she said, it's not good enough. We don't want to publish it.
But you haven't written a book about lawyers.
No, I haven't. That was the book.
Isn't that what – that was going to be the book about lawyers. Because almost every lawyer that's become a writer has written about the law.
Yeah, I suppose my interest takes me in a different direction.
Ben Fountain's book, the one that took him in a different direction, is Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk. It's published by Echo. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.